Sunday evenings. This week, I get the pleasure of talking about, so we're going to be thinking a bit about caring for your body, that's the title we've got anyway. Can I just say, we're amongst friends tonight. We are amongst friends. And as soon as I knew that Femi was on board for tonight to do a bit of an interview, and he's going to be sharing a few things a bit later, I thought I'm just dwarfed in comparison to anything that he is going to say. So I am very firmly going to stick to the Bible side of things to begin with and a few thoughts from God's Word. And then we're going to interview Femi, find out a bit about his background, his passion in this area of looking after ourselves well. And then he's actually going to take on some very practical thoughts for us. That's the idea anyway. And I know that Femi has done some crazy stuff that he's going to share. And some of you I know who know Femi know the kind of stuff that he gets involved with. So I'm really going to look forward to that later on. And you'll just have to listen to me in the meantime. But there we are. So caring for your body. This is one of those areas where I think we can look at it and we can probably all say that we do some things well and we do some things not so well. It's one of those areas, isn't it, where we think about it. I mean, I think about it. I think some of these areas to do with caring for your body, I do okay, but only okay. In other areas, could really do a whole lot better. Healthy eating, probably all right-ish, that kind of thing, but I do have a bit of a weakness for cake. Do like a bit of cake. We run this thing, a monthly group called Faith and Cake, and I say it's two of my favourite things, faith and cake. So, healthy eating, all right. Exercise, I thought I did all right. I play a little bit of football here and there. I describe myself sometimes being a bit of a runner, but then went for a run yesterday, having known that this was coming up. I thought I'd better go for a run and do something vaguely exercise-ish yesterday. Got to the end of my run, looked back at my thing on Map My Run, and it said, last time you did a run, 123 days ago. So I don't think I can describe myself as a runner either, but I should get back into doing some of those things. But anyway, we're going to think about caring for your body tonight and think about a few Bible areas to think about and also some practical stuff as well. But I'm going to start with this point to begin with. And it's basically that we are awesomely made. As people, we are incredible beings, incredible people who've been made by God to be who we are. And, you know, you look at our bodies and we think there is so much that goes on every single day within our bodies in the way it functions, in the way that we've been created, the way we take in food, process it, change it into energy, all sorts of stuff that goes into our body and that happens, that we are just incredible human beings. And God has made us with this wonderful complexity about ourselves to be who we are for a really particular reason. We've all got our purpose to fulfill. And, you know, whether or not we might feel that we'd love it if we were a bit taller or maybe a bit shorter, a bit slimmer or perhaps a bit bigger or perhaps we'd like to be a bit fitter or have more muscles. I don't know what it might be. However we feel about ourselves, we are created by God and we are awesomely made. This verse in the Bible, a very famous verse in the Bible, but speaks about how God has made us. This is the psalmist talking to God. And he says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And I love it that this psalmist has real conviction about who he is, that he knows that God works. His works are wonderful. He knows it full well. And he knows that each and every one of us, including himself, is fearfully and wonderfully made to be who we are and to be who we are for a reason. And we are incredible human beings. There's so much that we are capable of. I thought I'd show you a video just to kind of kick things off tonight. I'll just have to switch things over on the screen here. I don't know whether anyone's come across a YouTube channel called People Are Awesome. Has anyone come across this channel? It's basically a video of people doing all kinds of incredible things, and this is one from a few years back. Is that the play button? I can't even see. No, it's not. It's in the middle. There we are. We are incredible human beings. I hope you get the sound up as well. Thank you. There we go. I should probably have said some of those come with a don't try this at home warning on them. But if you look at that and think, oh, how on earth? I mean, those are some people with some very special and unique skills that are going on there. Yes, they are. But do you know what? We are all capable of so much, much more than we even think that we are capable of. I remember watching a few years back a lady on Britain's Got Talent, a 79, 80-year-old lady who danced the tango. I don't know if you saw this a few years back. A lady who danced the tango and started off with a very, very slow dance that she did with her partner, but ended up being flung around like she was, I don't know, 20 years old or whatever it might be. Incredible what we're capable of as people. Let me just get my PowerPoint back on the screen there. There we go. Brilliant. But we're capable of so much, and yet it's really easy for us to get so caught up in the idea that actually everything has to be perfect. We've got such a high goal to aim at that we can't possibly attain what our goals might be. But of course, that isn't the case at all. And really what we're going to be talking about tonight is very, very simple level, basic. How do we look after ourselves as people? How do we care for this body that we've been given? And really one of the messages of tonight is that even if we might be far away from where we think we might want to be, we can start small. We can start where we are and build up. And God has a purpose for every single one of us, whoever we might be. We're going to be talking mostly tonight to do with food and exercise. Those are our two main topics, I suppose, what we eat and what we do. But it's worth saying right from the start, there are real benefits to thinking about this area. We all know that there are many different benefits to living well and living healthily, not least in the area of mental health. They know that there is a direct correlation between our having health in our bodies, but also the way we think. Exercise has a real impact upon our minds and upon the way we process stuff, upon our memory skills, upon how we do life in general. There is a direct link between the two. There's all sorts of things that Femi's going to talk about a bit later, but of course it helps reduce areas, particularly the key areas of health, reduces risk of things like heart disease, things like strokes and diabetes, lowering blood pressure, losing weight, and generally having better health and being well more of the time than not being well. All of this factors into us as we think about caring for our bodies. And we think about food as well. I don't know if any of you watch the show Eat Well for Less. Has anyone ever watched this? I know. I watch it occasionally, so rock and roll, but I do watch it because I'm fascinated about how actually eating well itself, thinking away from exercise but to the eating side of things, how we can eat well for very, very little. It is possible for us just to think, in thinking a little bit about our eating habits and the way we do things, that we can eat well for less. They have a nutritionist on the show who just shows some basic, simple recipes about the stuff that we can do that takes away from things like convenience foods and things that are so easy for us to slip into as people, and towards having that balanced diet and home-cooked food that is really quite simple and doesn't take a huge amount of time, but actually can have real benefits. And what I find really interesting about the show is, particularly where they have families on the show, is where almost like the parents rediscover this area of cooking for family and cooking these simple meals and how it brings the whole family together in what they do and bringing the family around the table to talk about stuff and to enjoy good food together and have relationship together alongside the idea of eating well as a family. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about us eating well and looking after ourselves? Well, there's all kinds of stuff in the Bible that we could look at. I'm just going to look at a few things tonight. You'll get the idea from some Christians. Some Christians will say something along the lines of this: I know that when I get to eternity, God is going to give me a new body. So what does it matter with what I do with my body now? You'll get some Christians, you'll hear something along those lines. Anyway, you might hear it from some sections of Christianity. There's an idea that reaches right back to the likes of people like Aristotle and Socrates, way back the philosophers of old, which said that actually what we can do is that we can divorce our minds and our souls and spirits from our bodies. They're completely independent things. You can treat them both as different. If we focus upon our spiritual side of things, our mind side of things, then the body, we can kind of do what we want with. It doesn't really matter what we do with that. And you get this age-old idea that the two things are quite separate. But what do we find in the Bible is, of course, God says, we are a whole person. We are one person, and every single part of us matters, including our physical selves as well. You find this idea of the two different aspects, the dualism of body and mind mind and body being separate, in the likes of a place, something like 1 Corinthians, where Paul tries to combat what's going on in the church in Corinth, where they're saying certain things which back up their arguments that they can do what they like with their bodies, but actually it does make a difference to them as a person overall. So they were saying things like, "I have the right to do anything you say," writes the Apostle Paul. But he says, not everything is beneficial. "I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both." There's that idea that God's going to destroy the body, so what does it matter? "And the body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." And what they were basically saying is this idea that they could eat what they liked, and they could also approach things like sex, but in terms of anything they did with their bodies, anything at all that they did with it, they could do whatever they wanted with it. It was completely separate and removed from the spiritual side of them, from their minds, and from who they were as a person. But of course, what Paul was saying is that's not the case at all. Both of those things matter. What we do with our bodies matters, and even talking about food as well, what we put into our bodies really does matter. The body is for the Lord, so he says, and the Lord is for the body. You know, we are to care about what we do with ourselves, and it should matter to us. A few questions that we could run through just to think about to help us on this track of why it's important for us to do this before we get to the practical areas. It's worth us reflecting on who gave us our bodies in the first place. Who gave us our bodies in the first place? You get this story right from the beginning of creation that of God making Adam and Eve in the garden. The verse is on the screen there. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. I love it. He doesn't just say it was good, but he says it was very good. Everything he had made. We're created in the image of God to be like God in so many different aspects of who we are. Now, I'm not saying that like God needs to exercise or God needs to eat good food, but he's God. But he has created us with certain ways of living that are beneficial to us. He saw all that he had made and it was very good. He created us to be very good beings. He looked at us and said, "You are special, unique. I care about you. You're very good and I made you for a particular purpose and plan." It kind of links with that idea of Psalm 139 as well that we looked at earlier. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what God says about us. That's who he created us to be. Later on in that passage from 1 Corinthians where he's talking about the two aspects of our bodies being for the Lord and the Lord for the body, he goes on to say this. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, he says, "You were not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore honor God with your bodies." We don't actually own our bodies, God says. They're not just ours to do as we please with. In fact, what it's saying is that Jesus went to the cross to purchase back our bodies. Not just our spiritual side of us, but our bodies, the whole of us as a person. He paid the price for our bodies as well. And that means that he owns us. In fact, he owns all of us, from our minds to our souls to our bodies. And he brought us back from the power of sin to be the people he wants us to be created in his image and to serve him all of our days. He's Lord over us. We talk about Jesus being our Savior a lot of the time, don't we? And how he saves us by the power of the cross. But he's also our Lord as well. And that means that he's Lord over the whole of us as a person. What we say, what we do, over our created beings and the way we live our lives. It's really easy for us to compartmentalize our lives as Christians. You know, we can talk a lot about the spiritual side of our lives. We can talk a lot about studying God's word, as we were thinking about a bit last week. We can talk a lot about prayer and about all of those really important things that we do as Christians. But actually, we have to be a whole people before God. All of it factors in together to be these people that God created us to be. And actually, it's an act of worship to do so as well. Looking after ourselves is an act of worship. Romans 12, verse 1. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, so he said. True and proper worship, looking after ourselves, offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, something which is holy and pleasing to God. And actually, part of our thinking about our bodies is we look after ourselves and we look after our physical condition, the way we are, what we eat, what we do, because we're to be useful for God. I mean, if we're not in good working order, then we're not going to be so useful for God, are we, as we live our lives? It's a bit like, think about it. You know, if you were to buy a new car and you never took it to be serviced ever, you'd expect that when the MOT came around, you'd probably have a few more problems. It wouldn't run quite as well. It wouldn't be doing the things that it was supposed to do. It's a similar thing with our bodies. If we don't treat them well and look after them, put the right things into them, they're not going to be functioning the way they should. I mean, you wouldn't buy a pedigree racehorse and feed it McDonald's and keep it up all night watching Netflix before it's had a race the following day, would you? You just wouldn't do it. Has anyone watched the documentary, by the way, Super Size Me? Has anyone seen that documentary where the guy in America decides to just eat McDonald's three times a day, every single day for 30 days? I mean, it's just repulsive what he gets into. He gets so ill over it. He puts on so much weight. He feels awful at even just partway through the number of weeks that he's doing it. You wouldn't do it, would you? You wouldn't do it. And of course, everything like that is in moderation. You know, we can enjoy food that we enjoy every so often. That's not the point of this. It's not to say that everything is banned that's not necessarily so good for us. But it's about taking care of us, ourselves in the big picture. Rick Warren says this, your body is holy because God has made it, and everything God makes has a purpose. There's a reason he gives us our bodies to be who we are and to live the way we do. And then this one as well, who lives in our bodies, a question, who lives in our bodies? Again, 1 Corinthians 6 from the same passage, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? That God's Spirit lives inside of us, enabling us to live for him as best we're able to. You know, I've heard people say before, a little bit tongue-in-cheek actually, well, my body's a temple, isn't it? My body's a temple. What they're kind of saying is, I could just do what I like. I'm all right with myself being the way I am. My body's a temple, that's it, I'm fine. It's all well and good, although I might be not quite in the shape I should be, or I might be eating all the wrong stuff. It's beautiful, it's fine, it's all well and good. But again, there's this link with this side of worship that God puts towards us. He says that God is the one who lives in us. We should look after ourselves. And also, it gives a more positive link in the fact that God gives us all the resources we need as well to live for him in the tasks he calls us to. Galatians 5, about the fruit of the Spirit, being love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God has given us the ability to work for him in all aspects of our lives. God has given us the ability to have power over some of those passions and desires that aren't quite what they should be. Some of those temptations that we face, and particularly as we face towards, as we think about our bodies themselves. I found it really interesting, actually, that he talks about self-control within what the Spirit does within inside of us. That self-control is one of the dynamics that God's Spirit works in us to do and to achieve. He wants us to be controlled. And part of that is about how we live our lives. And then finally, before we get to some very practical areas, it's this truth. That very simply, we only have one body. We've only got one body for this lifetime. That's it. This is what we've been given by God for this lifetime, so that he can use for his glory, so that we can live well for him. It's the one that he paid for, gave us. It's the one his Spirit lives in. It's the one he cares about, and we should too, because we can't have another until eternity comes. And yet perhaps, as we get to thinking about practical areas in just a moment, maybe for us all, the following saying of Jesus, taken out of context, is probably quite true as well. That the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can we all say amen to that? Because I think we all find that, don't we? That our spirits could be very willing that we say we would look after ourselves. We start on all kinds of plans to improve ourselves, perhaps. And yet we find ourselves faltering and we find it very difficult to achieve the things that we want to. But there is hope and there is a way forward. And this is where I'm going to introduce Femi. Because Femi, you're going to come up and share with us a few things in a few moments' time about what we can do practically in this area to look after ourselves well. But we're going to do an interview first of all before we get to that point. If you want to join me on stage for a few minutes before then. If none of you know Femi, Femi goes off just occasionally and does some pretty amazing stuff, don't you?
From time to time, yes.
Yes, yes. Do you want to tell us, first of all, for anyone who doesn't know you, a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yes, so good evening, everyone. And it's a pleasure to be here to talk about probably my favorite topic to talk about, which is running around all over the place and engaging in all kinds of physical exercise. It's not just running that I enjoy. I actually enjoy doing pretty much anything that is active. A little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Nigeria, in Lagos. I came to the UK when I was 16 years old and came on my own to boarding school in England. And I can tell you, I still remember it. It's a long time ago now. But I remember it very well because I came in the autumn and it was so cold. I couldn't believe that it could be so cold.
That's another reason why we don't like being active, I think. Because, it's cold outside.
So I came to England at the age of 16. I'm now, 57. So a long time ago, went to school, like I said, did my university education in this country, went to work for Pricewaterhouse, and from Pricewaterhouse went to work at Pricewaterhouse as a consultant, management consultant, and then from there went to work for Lorry International, another strategy consulting firm. Joined HSBC, worked in the UK, and then worked in Chicago. Married Glenn, who's sitting over there, and Glenn and I, we moved to Chicago 6 months after we got married. Lived in Chicago, which was fantastic, for 18 months, came back to the UK, left HSBC, set up our own business, so decided to become an entrepreneur, and went into the coffee business, knowing nothing about coffee other than drinking it. But that was quite an experience. I like to tell the story of the fact that we set up Pacific Coffee before Starbucks came to this country. So there you go.
It's achievement in itself.
Yeah, claim to fame. So to cut a long story short, HSBC, Chicago, back to the UK, and then moved back to the US, still with HSBC, after the coffee business. And then from Chicago, 8 years in Chicago, then moved to Switzerland, lived in Zurich for a number of years, moved back to the UK, and then from the UK moved back to New York, working this time for JP Morgan. In New York, and then we did that for 18 months or so, and then we're back to the UK. Yeah, so a little bit about me and my background. And right now we live in Wimborne. We've got two children sitting in the corner, hoping that I don't embarrass them. that's a little bit about me.
And in amongst all this moving around, you are a bit of a fitness buff, aren't you? Let's put it that way. And you enjoy a challenge.
Yes, I
should we plug in your laptop? Actually, you got the photos there.
Yes, that would be good. Thank you very much. See if we can set that up. So while Chris is helping me set that up, I enjoy like I said, running primarily, but also I do, I do that. I do taekwondo with James. James and I are martial artists, so we practice taekwondo now. Both of us blue belts with red stripe, going for our red belts this summer, and hopefully our black belts next year. So that's the other thing that I do. This is just, you know, this is me some years ago now, in case you're thinking, God, he looks a bit young. Yeah, that's quite a few years, that's a few years ago now. That's in a race somewhere. Just flashed up there, that was me running in a race in Switzerland. That's me running in another mountain race. And this one, it looks like it's been photoshopped, but it actually isn't. That's the Eiger you can see in the background, and that's real. It's amazing. It's incredible. One of the things, just a little bit, actually, as Chris was speaking earlier on, I thought I will share with you one of the amazing discoveries that I have made in my life, and that I think partly explains why I got into the whole physical exercise and running and diet and nutrition. My mother passed away many years ago now, when I was 30 years old. And it was such a traumatic experience for me and for my family because, you know, my mother brought us up as a single mother in Nigeria, and there are five of us siblings. It was such a traumatic experience that I realized that without some help, I wouldn't be able to just cope and carry on. So I remember at the time really praying hard and asking God for help. And something happened because somehow I got introduced to entering my first, I think it was a 10K race. And I did the 10K, and soon after that I decided that I was going to go and try, you know, a half marathon, and I did the half marathon. And then, you know, I started getting, you know, going longer and longer and further. But as I started doing all of these different races, I realized something incredible, and that's one of the things I would like to share with you. And that my hope is that with this little talk I can maybe inspire you and perhaps make you think about, you know, how the physical side of ourselves is directly connected to the mental side of ourselves. Okay? The two are interlinked. Your mind and your body are interlinked. And you may already have discovered this. Some of you may already know this. But if you don't know it, then I'm here to provide testimony that there is a direct link between the physical and the mental. And the more you can get your physical self in good condition, in good shape, and build your strength and build your endurance, the better it actually is for your mind. And that has all kinds of benefits beyond, it's not about, you know, just fitting into your trousers and your pants or losing weight and looking good. It's really about living well. It's about living well in all kinds of ways. It's about coping with loss. It's about coping with depression. It's about coping with, you know, it's about your mental health. On top of all of the other things around, hopefully, avoiding some of the diseases and illnesses that plague us in our society. You know, so you hear of things like, you know, cancer, all kinds of different cancers, coronary artery disease, diabetes, obesity, and I go on, you know, I can go on and on. These things are not inevitable. We don't have to have these diseases. And that's some of what I can share with you, and I will explain what I, at least from my own perspective, what I've discovered about that. Just to give you a little bit of a snippet about when we talk about long-distance endurance races, some of the more exciting ones that I've done. This one, I'm going to play a little video, and this was in Germany a couple of years ago. It's called the Zugspitz. It's a 100-kilometer race in the mountains. So let's watch it. If it plays. Here we go.
Yeah. 100 Kilometer, 5412 Höhenmeter, 26 Stunden Zeit. Das ist der Salomon Zugspitz Ultraschnell 2017 Power Finland.
Der Zugspitz Ultra Trail gilt als einer der härtesten der Welt. Die hier mitlaufen, ich glaube, die lieben das.
Nee, aufgeben ist totaler Schwachsinn jetzt mehr. Also, weil selbst wenn du jetzt durchwanderst, kommst du ja auch noch an.
I'll crawl if I have to.
Sieg und die Titelverteidigung hätte ich echt nicht gerechnet. Natürlich war es ein Ziel, ein sehr großes Ziel, und dass das halt wieder in Erfüllung gegangen ist, das Ziel unglaublich.
I think it was the hardest thing I've ever done. One of the top experiences, yes. Great race, very, very hard.
That's the Zugspitz. You saw there, that race took me 26 hours. 26 hours continuous running. That means we you know, starting in the morning, crack of dawn, at the race started at 6 a.m., went all day, all night, into the next day, and it continued. I said there that it was the hardest thing I've ever done. It's not actually the longest race I've ever done. I've done longer races, and I've been out there for 30-something hours in a race around Mont Blanc, called the Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc. It's called UTMB. And that particular race starts in Chamonix in France, runs through Switzerland, runs through Italy, and finishes in Chamonix in Switzerland. Yeah. Sounds incredible, but when you're trained for it, it's not impossible. And I'll tell you, you'd be amazed. I mean, you guys in this room can do it. I see Mr. Sinkinson laughing, thinking, "Oh, I'm not sure," but I promise you, you would be amazed. I mean, Chris was saying earlier, it's absolutely true. The body is capable of incredible things. Our body is capable of unimaginable things. You wouldn't even be able to fathom it. But the further and further you go, and the more you try it, the more you will realize the truth of what I've just said. Let's move on. If you're like me, you know, I read papers, I'm, you know, usually the Times, and I'm always looking for articles about health or fitness or anything like that. And the other day or every day, you see some article about some new research that talks about the link between diet and exercise and your overall health. Okay, so I've just sort of put a few of those headlines up here. Putting on just a few pounds raises the risk of dying early. And this actually talks about a piece of research that was done at Harvard. So this is not just some flimsy research. This is real studies done by scientists that has found that if you put on anywhere more than 5 pounds between the age of 18 and the age of 55, that anything more than 5 pounds, that increases the odds of getting a number of these diseases. Okay, so there's a direct link between being overweight, I'm talking about being overweight, and obesity, heart disease, cancers of different kinds, and so on. They've actually found that this is the case. Here's another one. Even slightly higher blood pressure is dementia risk. So now there's a link, now they're saying, between, you know, your blood pressure and dementia. And there's an article about how to slow aging from a sprint to a crawl. Research on cancer survivors, I think it says there, shows that the right diet and exercise can add years to your life. Breast cancer risk from 3 bacon rashes. This is a shame, isn't it, for those of us that love bacon. But again, this is what they are finding, that there is a link, again, between certain meats, particularly, you know, processed meat, because a lot of the meat we eat is highly processed. It's not the same meat that our grandparents were eating. You know, it's full of hormones. And who knows what would happen if we ever get to eating chlorinated chicken from America. But here's the good news. You know, look at this fellow, Ed Whitlock, British man who moved to Canada and became a Canadian. That's Ed Whitlock, 85 years old, this guy. Unfortunately, he's passed away now a couple of years ago. But Ed Whitlock's claim to fame is he runs marathons, and he's run loads of marathons. But this guy, he held the record for the fastest marathon by somebody over the age of 70. He ran a marathon in faster than 3 hours at age of 74. Now, let me just put that into perspective. I'm reasonably fit. At my fittest, the fastest I could run a marathon, which is 26 miles, was 3 hours and 20 minutes. He ran it in 2 hours and 54 minutes at age 74. Okay, so you're talking about a remarkable man. But he's not the only one. So, let me just share with you, and I have to keep an eye on time because I could just kind of keep on talking, 3 things that are, if you like, I'll call them the secrets, but they're not secrets at all. A lot of them you actually know, but if you're going to take away anything, please take away these 3 things, okay? Number 1, wherever you are right now on your health spectrum, all of us can do this. Go in the wrong direction. Move more. So if you do no exercise, do a little bit of exercise. If you already do loads, do a little bit more, okay? Move more. It's interesting. Have you noticed when, you know, people drive to Waitrose or Sainsbury's to do their shopping? You know how you drive around for ages looking for the closest parking space? Don't do that. Park the farthest away from Waitrose and Sainsbury's. I'm telling you. Practical things. Park as far away as possible and then walk from where you've parked into Sainsbury's. Okay, so you have to carry the shopping bags all the way back to your car. Good exercise for you. Okay? Move more. We don't stop moving because we get old. We get old because we stop moving. Think about it. Okay? So I hear this a lot. Somebody says, oh, God, but I'm getting old. And they say, well, how old are you? Oh, yeah, I'm 75. I'm old. Ed Whitlock was 85. So what's the excuse? Be like Daniel. I love this one. Be like Daniel. Pick up your Bibles. Pick up your Bibles. And turn to page 885 in the Green Bible. Now, Chris, could you do me a favor? Could you read that passage on page 885 where Daniel, I'll tell you the paragraph, from here to about, I think about there.
So this is from verse 8 of chapter 1 of Daniel. This is Daniel being in the courts of the king and having been told that he has to eat certain foods. And it says this, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, 'I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you.' Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see.' So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine, and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead."
That's great. Thank you, Chris. Okay, so let's just recap what just happened there. So Daniel could have had choice food, lots of rich meat, wine, all of that stuff. And Daniel said, "No, I will not defile myself with that. Give me vegetables and water." Now, you may have read that passage and thought, did it literally mean vegetables and water? Yes. Vegetables and water. And you know what's surprising now, or not so surprising, depending on your perspective? Increasingly, new studies are finding that a plant-based diet is by far better for you than meat-based diet. Now, I'm not going to say don't eat meat. That's an individual thing. But I will tell you this, that the more vegetables and fruits and vegetables and green plants that you eat, the better you will be and the better your health. There is a direct link that they are finding now. That's what Daniel found. This is real. This is very real. And this is how God reveals these things to us. It's right there in the Bible. It says, do this. And if you ever want to experiment, try it for a week. Do what Daniel did. For 1 week, eat vegetables, lots of vegetables. I'm not talking about just eating, carrots and lettuce. I'm talking about eating beans and anything green, okay, and beetroot and peppers, stuff that grows out of the ground as opposed to stuff that is processed. Throw those energy bars away, you know, the ones that are cereal bars. It's full of sugar. It's not good for you. Okay, you've heard of the food pyramid. You know, at the top, that's the classic food pyramid. You know how they say at the top there you've got fats and oils, and then you've got meat and so on. And then right at the base, it's got breads and pasta and cereals. That's traditionally what we've been told to eat. You know what they've now found? All that stuff is making us fat. Sorry. Sarah's like, woohoo. You know what we should do? Turn the food pyramid on its head. And as you can see, that's what is now being advocated increasingly, that we should eat stuff that is not processed. And then this one. So we've talked about exercise. We've talked about nutrition. And then the final piece of the jigsaw is our minds, okay? You know, in other words, our belief and how we think. I would challenge and I will say to you, challenge the stereotypes. Don't accept as given the fact that when somebody says, oh, well, you know, you can't do that. And don't believe it for yourself either. You can do anything. It may be hard at first. Pretty much everything is hard at first. Okay? But what you do, the way to do it is you start slowly and you increase it. So if running is your thing, you start with a little run and then you run a little bit further. But you don't run so far that you ache for days afterwards and then that's it, you give up. That doesn't work. You do a little bit and then you increase further. And by doing that, you will find that over time, you're transformed. And you're transformed physically as well as mentally. There was another video that I wanted to show you. And not sure if I can find it now. It is a video of Sister Madonna. Let's see if I can. It was here a moment ago. I might not be able to find it right now. Hang on. I'm not going to try and search for it right now. I tell you what. When you get home, Google the nun that runs triathlons. This nun is like 80-something years old and competes in Ironman triathlons. And just for those who are not aware, an Ironman triathlon is 3.1-mile swim, immediately followed by 112 miles on the bike, immediately followed by 26.2 miles running continuously. And this lady is a nun, and she does, and she still competes. Like I said, I can't find the video here. I had it in there, but somehow it seems to have dropped off. But you can Google that, and you will see, you know, the clips of the Ironman nun. But the incredible thing about her, apart from the fact that she can do all this stuff, is how she's woven it into her faith. So she really embodies some of what Chris was talking about earlier, about how, you know, your faith, our faith and our Christianity is not separate from what we're doing outside. It's part of our lives, and being physical and looking after ourselves and looking after our body is not a separate thing. It's all part of one and the same thing. God wants us and wants our bodies and our minds to be living embodiments of himself. Not separate. Not separate. us leave with this final passage, and then I will pass over to Chris. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They shall soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Fabulous. Thank you, Femi. And it's worth stressing, isn't it, that what we're talking about here is small steps, isn't it? We're not talking about that everyone is going to go out and suddenly start doing triathlons and begin training. Possible. Don't know how you feel. Do you feel up for it? Do you know what? I thought there might have been that response. But we're talking small steps, aren't we? Small steps can make big changes.
Well, we're talking small steps. Not only that, we're talking small steps. Well, you know, and many of you, I mean, I'm looking across the room. I can see Sarah there and Mark. I mean, they're good runners already. Rich is there. I know he's been out a few times. I'm sure some of you that I don't know here are probably already do, you know, physically active. And it's just a matter of continuing that if you're already doing it. And then looking for small improvements around that.
Yeah, great. Has anyone got a question for Femi? Anything along those lines that you want to ask a question about?
This is your chance.
This is your chance. This is your chance, yeah.
Yeah, well, first of all, it depends on the type of injury. Right now, I'm suffering from an injury, but I choose to kind of still run through it because the type of injury I have is what one calls plantar fasciitis, which is a pain in your heel. And the way I deal with that is if I know it's an injury that I can manage, and by managing I mean things like, for example, with the pain in the heel, if I know if I use athletic tape to strap my heel, so you put the strap, you put the elasticated tape around your foot, it takes the strain away from the ligaments, and therefore it allows me to run. So I can manage around that, and then you just have to be, you know, I have to be really thoughtful and conscientious about stretching to make sure that the pain is not aggravated, and then over time it goes away. But it depends on what that injury is. Do you have a particular injury right now that stops you from running? Or? Okay, yeah. If it's more serious injury, then you know you have to go see a specialist. I mean, would be the answer. Is there anything you can share about your injury, or not really? Okay.
It's a long one.
Okay. Yeah. No worries. But yeah, you know, try to find some way around it. There is a another thing, talking about injuries, this one is actually quite a serious injury. There's a video of a lady who is in the gym, weightlifting. The remarkable thing about her is she was doing squats. I don't know if you know what a squat is, where you put the barbell on the shoulders and you squat with it.
Steady.
Right? Yeah,
it might be too much for tonight.
So you squat with the bar. But what was remarkable about this girl is that she was doing squats. She only had one leg, or she only has one leg. So let's just register that for a moment. So talking about injury, one leg, barbell, squats. Mm-hmm. The point I want to make is people find ways, if you really are motivated about doing something, you find a way around it.
Great. Anything else? Any other questions? Oh, that's a very good question, yeah.
Have I ever lost motivation? And if I did, how did I overcome it? That is a very good question, because you do go through periods where you think, oh, goodness, I can't be bothered, I don't want to do that. There are many tricks that you can do. So let me answer that in this way. Say, for example, you get to a point where you just can't be bothered to go out for a run or go out to the gym or go out to whatever, you know, Pilates class or yoga or whatever. Try to find a friend or someone who you can go with, who you can sort of buddy up with. Because nothing works better than, you know, having someone else to kind of push each other. And it's a bit like, you know, so if you and I agree that, oh, we're going to meet tomorrow morning, we're going to go for a run, you have to turn up. Because if you don't, you're going to let me down. So that's kind of one of the little tricks of the show. Another little trick, by the way, like in the cold of winter, you may just say, oh, I can't, it's so cold, I don't want to go out. You know what the thing to do is, the mind is a funny thing. What you do is, the night before, you get your running top and your shorts and your shoes and your sock, have it all ready by the door, so that when the alarm goes off, turn that brain off. Not the alarm, turn the brain. Turn the brain off, meaning don't think about it. Because the more you think about it, you will convince yourself, oh, I can do that, I don't have to go today. So get out of bed. So before you even can think about it, just roll out of the bed, and then your stuff is all right there. Get dressed. And once you're out of the door, it's a done deal. And Sarah said something to me earlier, and she was actually quite right. Yeah, she said, you know, you never go out for a run or whatever and regret going out for a run. Okay, what you do tend to regret is not going. So once you're out, you're out. You know, mentally it changes.
Very good, very good. Anything else? Any other questions? No, well, I think that's it. Thank you. You can talk to Femi afterwards, by the way. Grab him afterwards, have a chat with him. He's got all kinds of stories, all kinds of advice that I'm sure you can give to people if they've got questions, if they want to. But thanks so much for this evening. I'm just going to pray for us now, and then we're going to head off. Let's just pray now. Father God, we thank you for the way in which you have created us. We thank you that we are incredible beings, Lord, who have so much potential, Lord, who have been created for a reason and a purpose, and it's to serve you. And I thank you for tonight as we've thought a little bit about how we care for our bodies. I pray, Father God, you'd inspire each of us to think about ways in which we can do that, being that bit more active and thinking a bit more about our health and what we eat and how best to go about living our lives so that we can honor you and glorify you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that through all of this, Lord, you'd inspire just that little bit more to be servants of you, Father God, to look after ourselves well, to live our lives for you, Lord, and give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks so much for coming out tonight. Next week, we are doing Surviving and Thriving with Social Media, I think, which Chris is going to take through next week. I hope he is anyway. He's looking confused, but I believe that's what we're doing next week.